Yo, what's good, y'all? This is Jesse reporting to you from Oakland, California, home of the Black Panther Party.
What's up, everybody? This is Michael in Williamstown, Massachusetts.
What's up, guys? Marvin here in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia.
And this is Josh reporting live from Pumpsy Green City. If you don't know who Pumpsy Green is, you need to go do your Googles, all right? Welcome to the Melanated Social Work Podcast. We have a very, very, very special guest. And before we get to discuss our guest, we have a lot of announcements. So, in regards to Lady College in Oakland, California, shout out to Lady College, we will be leading two workshops. Workshop one will be a panel question and answer session on February 17th. Workshop two will be an immersive processing and healing workshop for Black and non-Black people of color. That's February 18th. On February 25th, we will be doing a ASWB clinical exam prep, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, and it's $30 to register. The book club, we all know a lot's going on, so the book club is to be determined. It's a lot going on just to sit and read, I guess, at this point. And then also March 7th and March 8th, we will be part of the NASW New Jersey's Liberation Counseling. And also, last announcement, please check our merch for a new design. We kind of debuted a certain type of like sweatshirt, maybe like in November or so, and we had it first, but you know, we got a lot of feedback, positive feedback for people that said they wanted it. So you will get it once this recording is out. But before we get into the, you know, to the nitty gritty, I just want to say, all right, this guest, as somebody who, if you know me on Instagram, I kind of bit off the name a little bit and the story goes deeper. Met this person at the Millennial Social Work Conference, the inaugural one, first ever. And we were out in the outer suburbs of Atlanta in the woods near mountains. A lot of pickup trucks, and it's like, is this Atlanta or is this like Tennessee? But Metro Atlanta, nonetheless. This person is an entrepreneur. They're a panelist. They've been featured in magazines. They have a dope podcast. They have merch. Now they have an assistant to help them with their private practice. Just checking off everything, getting the coins, and doing the damn thing. And I would like to, you know, introduce our special guest, world-renowned guest, Joy, LCSW.
Hi, thank you for having me. That was such a nice introduction.
You know, I watch a lot of Drink Champs, and Noriega always does that before, so I'm on my Noriega right now.
Okay.
So how you doing today, cuz?
Been a long day, but I'm doing all right. Better week than last.
All right. And for my fellas, how y'all doing today?
I'm feeling good. I mean, y'all shut it down today at the UT Austin Impact Hour. So folks, you know, weren't able to catch that. I know they recorded that, so you can go ahead and Google the UT Austin Impact Hour of a Melanated Social Work. The rest of these folks shut it down. So it was cool to just be a person in the audience enjoying all the wisdom y'all were dropping. And just, you know, well. Glad to be recording with y'all today.
I really liked your question that you asked on that, Jesse.
Oh, yeah. You know what happened to? She censored my question, which was fucked up. Because that was the second part of the question. The first part of the question was, what questions do y'all want white people to stop asking?
Oh, she didn't ask that.
No, she didn't ask that. She censored that shit.
She don't want to know. She don't want to know. She want to keep asking.
Feedback for her. Shit.
Oh, man. I'm feeling content. I'm feeling, you know, happy to be in community with y'all. It's been a really busy day, but all good stuff. So, like, I'm actually energized somehow at whatever time it is right now. On whatever day it is, in whatever year it is right now, because what is time? But yeah, feeling good.
Also, want to say real quick, I think a lot of it, I don't know, maybe some of it, I assume, could be that Marvin got a real nice cut, the handsome guy, got the beard. got the, you know, things are going. It's kind of, you know, kind of the gas kind of fresh right now.
You know, I clean up real nice sometimes. I was looking real raggedy before, so I'm glad my barber hooked it up for me.
I am feeling well, feeling balanced, and good energy right now. So, you know, it's all good.
Dope. You know, I see you got the polo on, man. The, you know, kind of fresh. You know what I'm saying? You already on your Easter outfit.
I know, I was going to say, you got the Easter vibes going right now. You
coordinating right now.
Homage to Prince, oh, actually, man. It's
Purple Rain. He's from Minneapolis. Purple Rain. Yes. You know what I'm saying? It's all purple right now. Purple drinks. Nonetheless.
I want that.
Nonetheless, we have Joy. And the first question I would like to ask Joy. Okay. Now, I was like, how can I just ask a leading or intro question? And I'm like, let me not overthink it. So I just Googled some stuff and then I came up with, what superpower would you like to have and why?
Okay. If I could have a superpower, I would want to be able to teleport. One, I don't really have any patience and I live in New York City. And so having to be on public transportation stresses me. Can I curse? The fuck out. So I would like to not have to be around people because I do not have a car right now. So I would like to teleport. Also, it's COVID and it just feels like I won't get it if I'm not anywhere for too long.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like teleporting, that would be major. If I could teleport somewhere, it'd be to, I don't know, take less loans or something. So teleporting is key. I don't know if I really talked about, maybe it's before the recording or not, but can you explain to those who do not know how we met? And also, we still need to find out if we are actually related. Yeah. Most people in that little town that you said, I'm like, if any black person that's in that town, 9 out of 10 times is related to me.
Because there's like 20 people there. So yeah. They all related. They got
to. Yeah. And then they all went up to New York the way my family and, well, our family, I guess, did. So.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So we met, you said we met at the Millennial Social Work Conference in 2019, which feels like 1,000 years ago. And we just, I don't even know how we got on the conversation of talking about South Carolina. Well, I said, oh, my grandmother's from this place. And you're like, my family's from there. And I'm like, oh, we must be related. And then it's just kind of been history from there.
Facts. It's, you know, it's funny with social work. I came into this field of work like, man, how can I find this? How can I find that? I found these great fellas and I found a relative. So that just goes to show you, like, when you're doing God's work, if you believe in God, there's no telling who you'll run into, you know?
Right. I used to feel like I didn't know any social workers because I went to grad school part time. So I didn't like really make friends. And now I feel like I know only social workers.
It's funny, too, because somebody who I used to work with in Brooklyn, I ain't gonna say their name, they're cool people.
But, oh, right.
They know you, too. And then I was like, wait, you know her, too? I was like, wow, this is such a small world.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I listened to your podcast, my partner and I think my partner's been on your podcast, or was it Carrie's? I think it was you, Mine, Carrie.
Yep.
Okay, yep. Uh-huh. So, you know, even then, I think people were talking about your podcast, everything like that. But nonetheless, I've kind of, you know, I've heard you discuss on your podcast and different platforms what it's like to be, quote, unquote, regular Black. That is generally slang for African-American when you don't have ties to other places, but namely like us, the South. Uh-huh. The same way, you know, a lot of people in the Bay or L.A. have roots in Louisiana, Texas. The same way those who have roots who were from Chicago and have roots in Mississippi is the same way. Those that, like our families, a lot of times they left the Carolinas and went to New York.
Uh-huh.
Also, for those who don't know, please pick up the Warmth of Other Suns. It's hot. It kind of talks about these things. But nonetheless, has it been like to be your experience being regular Black or African-American Black in New York City when there's so much different Black culture?
So I would say overall it's been isolating because there's so many other cultures and when I was younger, I didn't, obviously, because you're younger, you don't necessarily recognize as much. But in elementary school, my school would have this thing called the ethnic feast, which now I'm like, is that appropriate? But I don't know. But like families would like bring dishes. So you'd bring a dish from your culture. And my mom, for many years, made sweet potato pie. And I was like, make something different. Like, we don't have to let everybody know, like, you're from the South. And then she started making barbecue chicken and then people like that. But then in like high school, I was told, I had friends who were Caribbean, and I was told that I didn't have culture because I was American. And to the point that even some of their parents were like, well, you can't be Joy's friend because she's American and Americans are lazy and like all of these things that they felt about America. And I was like, well, goddamn, like, I just want to be friends. And I didn't think that it was that serious. So another way that it became isolated. And then in like college, there was like the Black Club, it was called Haraya. And then there were like these other subgroups based on like there was like a Haitian club or a Jamaican club, and it was like, or the Caribbean Association is what it was called. And then I was like, oh, I can't be a part of that because I'm not that. So it's been not always easy. Or people are like, oh, you're just American, like that's nothing. And I'm like, oh damn, like it means something to me. But in New York City, it's difficult. When I go down south, it's like everybody's just Black. But in New York, it's like, oh, you're not Caribbean? Oh, it's like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think when I was in New York, more so in Harlem, you'll find, for me, I found more African Americans compared to like Brooklyn. And I live in Flatbush, and it's like,
oh, in Flatbush, yeah.
Hella, at that, where I was, not part of Flatbush, a lot of Haitians, some Trinidadians, some Jamaicans, some Guyanese. But, you know, the Warmth of Other Suns kind of talks about generally how the train systems went. Uh-huh. And, like, I did my little research and, okay, you ever heard of Rucker Park in Harlem?
Yes, of course.
Right? So, Rucker Park, right? That's named after Darius's Rucker from Hootie and the Blowfish. Darius Rucker, he's from South Carolina, and that man from South Carolina.
Is he really named after him?
Yeah, that Rucker's from a Black man from South Carolina.
Oh.
Bro. When you go to Sylvia's, that's South Carolina. He's from South Carolina. Feminisha Jones, shout out to Feminisha Jones. Diddy, Dapper Dan, Chris Rock, Kerry Washington. I'm generally the Carolinas. Asad Shakur, John Sally, Michael Williams, Hattie Riley, Nas, Jeffrey Canada, the Wayans, Wayno, if you're in the hip-hop, Wayno, Big Daddy Kane, Keith Murray. Tupac's mom is from North Carolina, but he's born in the Bronx. And even Michael Jordan, his family's from North Carolina, and he was born in Brooklyn. So it's pretty deep. And the way I've been thinking lately, and I think the way that you can kind of summarize it is like the way there's like maybe Barbados or Jamaica have their different cultures. In African-American culture, even though it's one country, those states are the equivalent to kind of like culture of maybe what it is could be Barbados or this, that, and the third. So we have our own distinct culture, and we've been here for 402 years. So we should, not in a sense of being some type of Hotep or separatist, we could love all diasporic peoples, and also for us to appreciate those that are not American, so we could show that outside of nationality, we're Black. And one of our recent podcast guests said, I'm African, AFR, ICA, Puerto Rico, Haiti, NJA, New York, and Cali, FLA. It ain't about where you stay, it's about the motherland. So we're all Black. So just wanted to put that out there for all that didn't know.
That's right.
Okay. And also, today, it's Young Simba's birthday, I believe. For those that don't know, that is Jermaine Cole. I'm not the biggest Jermaine Cole guy. Please, Cole Hive, don't come for me.
Wait, you don't like J. Cole? What?
I'm not saying I really.
I'm just confused. Like,
I'm not saying I don't like him.
Your likes, but I'm just confused.
I'm not saying I don't like him. I'm just saying, like, if it's Drake, Kendrick, or him, I'm gonna go with Kendrick. Not the biggest.
Well, obviously.
I'm not the biggest fan.
I know the three of them. Yeah.
I'm not the biggest fan. But nonetheless. Huh. So I know somebody you went to St. John's with. And also J. Cole went to St. John's.
Yes.
Did you go to St. John's with J. Cole?
Yes, technically I went to St. John's with J. Cole. J. Cole, I think, is a year under me.
Okay.
But like, I ain't know him. People are like, oh, we've been to parties and he was there. And I'm like, I don't know. So I don't know J. Cole. No, not that.
Okay. Cool. And J. Cole's from North Carolina. Shouts out to the Kakalaki. But also, you went to NYU for your MSW.
Yes.
And my social work question more so is, what life experiences led you to study social work?
I'm like, all of them. So I feel like it like goes forward and then it goes backwards. So I was in high school. I went to, my mom had was diagnosed with a chronic illness. And so I grew up in one of those Black households where you can talk about your family stuff outside of your house. But I had like a lot of feelings about it, but I could go to counseling at school. So I went to counseling in school and I was like, oh, this is cool. This lady let me come here and like talk for an hour and I get to miss 45 minutes or whatever. And I get to miss class and I get to like tell her I'm mad and sad and cry. And like, she doesn't judge me. Like, that's cool. So like that kind of thing was happening. Then, like in college, you know, you take, well, my major in undergrad was human services. So, you know, you take all of these classes about like mental illness and substance abuse and all of these things. And it started to bring up a lot. And I was like, oh, like some of these things I see in my family, but I still didn't know that I wanted. And like, I really liked the professor who was like the director of the program. And she was a social worker, but I didn't want to go back to school. Like I had no desire to get a master's. I did not, I was over school, but I couldn't find a job. I was working at the library at the time and I knew that I didn't want to do that because I worked with very old white women. And it was stressful as fuck because I was like 21 and they're like 50 and 60, 70 and miserable and just racist a little bit. So I knew I wanted to work with kids at the time. So I started working at a daycare and then they put this woman in my room to be my assistant and she stressed me out. And I was like, how can I not be here so many hours a week with her? And I was like, I'm gonna go to grad school. And so I saw what schools were accepting applications still. It was NYU and Fordham and I applied and then I was like, fuck it, I'm going. Now here I am. I'm glad that I did it. She pushed me to her crazy self.
You got to thank that shitty assistant.
Yeah. Oh, she she made me a birthday cake and I was like, it's poison because we did not like each other. But she got me to go to grad school. That was the push I needed.
So you also, like I probably said it before, you also have a podcast that recently turned 3 years old, correct?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Clap it up. Thank what you. Motivated you to start
wait,
my bad.
It was
late. I had to unmute. I didn't get to do the clapping. So, yay! Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. What motivated you to start? And let me just say, also, your podcast is refreshing. You have guests that discuss African culture, Karens, entrepreneurship, mental health, the general fuckery, and the fuckery of 2021. And I just want to say it's really awesome that one thing I get about your podcast is like you're so reflective, you know. So would you be able to kind of talk about how cathartic it is for you in your self-reflections and what motivated you to start your podcast?
Yeah. So what motivated me was a friend. So my podcast started after the death of my boyfriend in 2017. So I would reach out to people and like say like, hey, I'm sad. Hey, this, or people would ask me like, how am I? I'm like, I'm sad. I'm angry. You know, whatever kind of emotion I was feeling. And folks started to give me like the, don't feel like that. Don't cry. It's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Like answers that started to annoy me. And I was like, okay, I don't want to be a burden to people. So I'm going to take all of my pain to Instagram. Not the best idea, but it was like a way for me to get the shit out. I don't know. I should have probably just gone to therapy, but whole nother story. And then I had a friend who was like, have you ever thought about having a podcast? And I didn't really listen. I don't think I listened to podcasts at the time. So I was like, no, I don't even really know what that is. She gave me some equipment. She was like, listen to these things. And then she was like, and just like talk. And I was like, this is weird. Because I'm talking to myself, but it became a way to be able to like get out these feelings and be very authentic about them. And I didn't really care what folks thought about it. I also didn't really think that people were going to listen to it, but I didn't care what people were going to say or think about it because it was my feelings. And like, I felt like, you know, I feel like everyone's feelings are valid. You can't tell them not to feel how they feel. But it does give me a space to reflect because I feel like I often am recording and I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And it becomes therapeutic, and like those kinds of connections happen in therapy a lot for me and for other people. So it's definitely a space that I use for that.
Dope. I mean, I kind of, even though you're my cousin, I do want to ask you, what other podcasts, social work do you listen to? But I ain't gonna really put you on the spot. I'm gonna just, we could talk about that offline. I don't want to make anybody mad.
Yours?
No. Why? What podcast?
I listen to Melanated Social Work.
Okay.
I don't. That might be it right now. I don't. I haven't like been on. And it's funny because people, I've been like, I started a podcast with you, and I have not listened to them. And I'm maybe going to try to do better once the world is like crazy.
I think people don't realize how much time and energy goes into like producing your own podcast too. Like, so I spend so much time listening to us. Like, I'm like, I don't really have capacity for listening to other people sometimes, but you know what I mean? How have you been keeping it going for 3 years though? Cause I remember there was one point where I was just like, damn, I don't know. God, like we could do this for like a year or something, you know what I mean? And then we just kept going. Like, how'd you keep it running for 3 years? Like, do you ever feel like a sense of pressure, you don't know like what to say or, you know what I mean?
Definitely. There's more now that I feel like I don't know what to say. And I'm like, is it coming to an end? Because I don't know what to say sometimes. So I feel like I'm trying to be really intentional about what comes out this year, just in case it is the last year of it. But how have I been keeping it going? Because shit keeps happening. And I feel like it's like, oh, this shit happened. We got to talk about it. Or like feelings happen. Or like, I know like my friends go through things and it keeps going. And honestly, people being like, I listened to your podcast and it made me feel so inspired. Somebody sent me an email like that today. And I was like, fuck, can't end it. I have to keep going.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's that pressure.
I really like the authenticity that you bring in your podcast. Like it doesn't seem, I don't know, it just seems like, yeah, this is just a dope ass human and I'm just gonna listen to her talk.
Uh-huh. Like, I appreciate that.
I think you get like, I think sometimes you gotta reflect on those emails though. Like it is more work, but then like it's kind of a dope feeling to know that your voice is kind of changing.
Yeah.
You know, the mood of somebody or like the, you know, like just helping them out in some kind of way. At the same time, like make sure you have capacity, but it's always like dope to kind of reflect on who you are actually helping that you.
Mm-hmm. It is. You know,
we put out a lot of stuff, but we don't really get that feedback about like how it affects people a lot. And so when we do get it, it's like, like we actually are making a difference, you know?
Yeah.
Like what happened yesterday on Clubhouse. That happened to us yesterday where someone was like, oh, I listened to one of your podcasts and I wrote in a question and you answered my question and it was the motivation I needed to get my dream job. So y'all helped me get my dream job.
That's so dope.
Yeah.
This woman told me I've inspired her to stick with social work. She was like, because you've gone through a lot and sometimes I feel like it's too difficult, so I want to stop, but I know that you've been through a lot and you haven't stopped, so I'm going to keep going. I was like, oh, this is so nice.
Right in the feels.
Right, all in the field. I'm like, God damn it, what am I going to record? What's coming out Sunday?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'd be waiting. We'd be coming out of Trader Joe's on Sunday. We'd do our grocery shopping about maybe noon, 1, and we turn that thing on. But dope guess. And I think it's so cool because you could tell the person that's doing the podcast, which is you, is just genuine and real. And I think, like, that's some of the best feedback that we've received as well. Like y'all honest, y'all real. And I think melanated social work can only be melanated social work. Right. Joy can only be joy. When you are good at just putting yourself out there and just showing vulnerability, just talking through things, talking through all the fuckery. There's so much to talk about, especially in these times. People appreciate it. So
yeah,
I think you should continue to do what you do. And I want to name the university, but you're a consultant at a university and you got like 3 different social work licenses too?
Yeah.
You're so modest. You're so modest.
I don't know how to not be, which is crazy.
Damn thing. Damn.
Love it. I'm wondering, do you ever experience like imposter
syndrome? Yeah.
Yeah. And how do you combat that? Or how do you kind of power through?
That's a great question. I definitely have imposter syndrome. And it varies. Like there's days that I'm like, I'm just shit. Like, whoo, I'm just doing this thing. And then there's other days that I'm like, oh my God, am I even really good at social work? Should I like be an interior decorator or something like that? So I combat it with kind of like looking at the things that I'm doing. And I do take that feedback that people give. For example, like the consulting thing that I do, I do like, ever so often, whenever they ask, I do like a check-in with this organization. And then I also run groups for them. And so sometimes group therapy is not my favorite thing. Like I feel like I really shine one-on-one groups. I'm like, too many people. But after every group, someone will like send me an email or they'll send the people who organized it an email and they'll tell me what the people said. And I'm like, really? Okay, maybe it's not that bad. So I look at that kind of stuff and I'm like, or like that my clients keep coming back to session. Obviously, I'm not terrible. So.
Right. So I think a lot of social workers deal with like moral injury that in essence leads you to burnout. Mm-hmm. Kim Young, dope Black social worker. She does a lot of talks and things about, you know, moral injury. And you come into this work, social work, because you want to make a change. You know, you have empathy, but these patriarchal white supremacist systems that produce university social work programs and nonprofits, schools, whatever the case may be, are tiresome. And these systems beat us up. But it seems with you, these experiences have led you, like again, being in magazines, consulting, paneling, being in private practice, doing the damn thing. What led you to go into private practice? Congratulations.
Thank you.
And also, what have you learned about yourself doing private practice and being your own boss?
Okay. Ooh, so private practice was kind of always, well, I have a friend who, she finished her MSW before me and we were like, we're going to get our licenses and then we're going to get our clinical license and we're going to start a practice. And now she's like, well, I'm not doing social work no more. It's too much. Because of burnout, she was working someplace and had like 80 clients a week, something crazy, like something that you could never even really do. So now she's a elementary school teacher. But so I was like, do I continue? And I'm like, well, just because we had a plan and it's not working out, because she's not doing this doesn't mean that I can't. But I always, because of imposter syndrome, I feel like I didn't think I was ever really ready. And I think sometimes when I have that self-doubt, it's like, am I really ready? Like, is this really real? But I know that it isn't. So what kind of pushed me to private practice, I was dealing with a lot of white people fuck shit at work. And it was getting to the point where my nonprofit was encouraging me to like speak up for myself and like, don't like stand up for yourself. And so I was like saying things like, hey, I'm calling out people on stuff. And then I was like damn near being threatened to lose my job. So I knew that I wasn't going to make it very long. And so like that was going on. Then I had an intern who was a white woman who was terrible, who asked me to change her evaluation because she was terrible, who then put me as a reference. And so when the people called from a practice, I was like, well, how does she think she is capable to work in a practice 4 months after graduation? And I'm sitting here doubting myself. And I was talking about it in therapy. And my therapist was like, you probably have like 10 years of experience or something, right? And I was like, yeah. She was like, so why don't you think you can do it? And I'm like, I don't know. I just don't think I'm ready. And she's like, pull out a paper and pen and had me write down a bunch of stuff and things to look up and things to do. And I was like, but I don't know if I'm really, really ready. And she was like, you might never really feel ready if you don't believe in yourself. And so it was really like changing that mindset of like, well, shit, why can't I? And then I did it. And then when right before quarantine began, I quit my full-time job, not necessarily knowing that things were going to like work out, but thank God they have. So I'm grateful for that. But something that I've learned is that like, I'm not for everybody and everybody's not for me. I think in the beginning, I was trying a lot to like make clients my clients. They're like, I can only pay $10. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, and so then I'm losing money. We're in a pandemic. I don't have a full-time job now. So it's like, how are you going to pay this rent that you for my house? And then I have an office. And then it's like, how are you going to pay two rents and bitch, you charging $10? Like, so it took a lot for me to be like, if you can't afford it, then I'm not the one for you. And like, you know, some people would come to a session and not come back and I have to, or like break up with me. And I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. You know? And it's really being able to like, not take that stuff. Like I'm a problem or something. I'm just not a good fit for you. And you might not be a good fit for me. I've had to break up with clients too. I have one that I really need to break up with now. I'm just trying to figure out how to do it. But yeah, but I like being my own boss. I like making my own hours. I really have liked during the pandemic and the racial injustice, and especially during like the time where companies were like, Black Lives Matter. And it's like, now you just realize that. I was really glad to not have to deal with white people. That has been probably the best part of this experience, because I don't know. I'm sure that I would have gotten fired at that point when it came to like, let's have these meetings where we want to talk about our feelings. I'm sure I would have said something like, well, y'all been doing this racist shit since I started working here. And then they'd have been like, sure, you gotta go. So that's been my favorite part.
It's such a different kind of hustle.
Yeah.
Private practices.
It is.
Because it's like, you don't work, you don't eat.
And then you feel like you gotta always work. So mm-hmm. You can always eat, but it's like, you also need to rest because it's a different kind of hustle.
I similarly quit my job right before pandemic.
Uh-huh.
And I remember just for the first 2 weeks, probably working 12 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and then my body was like, yeah, you got to sit the fuck down. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a choice in the matter. My body was like, nah, you just going to go and do this.
Yeah.
But also struggled with that. Like, what is a good rate? Like, because $50 a session, in my opinion at the time, was like, oh my, is that too much? Should I be charging that much? And my colleagues are like, you need to be charging $125. Then I was like, well, I only have an LSW though. I don't know, you know. Uh-huh. this about like, because we're taught not to really own shit in that uh-huh. way.
Absolutely.
We're
taught,
we're not really that we don't deserve to be in certain spaces. And so like I get to name my own price, and you know, I'm reaching out to other Black people. So it's like, whoa, well, Black people don't have money like that. So I don't know. Like, would I? And just like, nah, you just gotta lean into that discomfort and know how fucking dope you are.
Exactly. The first time somebody paid me my rate, I sent my friends a text message with like a screenshot of it. And I'm like, somebody paid me to do this thing that I would do for free, but I know that I can't do for free because this is how I eat now.
Yeah. It's a nice feeling getting that.
It is a nice feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that you also normalize like not being for everybody.
Yeah.
Like, I think that is wholeheartedly the truth in this work, is that you won't be able, us as clinicians won't be able to serve just anybody who walks into the office.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just not a good match and fit. And that's okay to move around. It's okay for the client to move around. It's okay for the therapist to recognize like, oh, there's like maybe a lot of counter transference or whatever is happening. They're like, you know, I think you would be better served by someone else.
Right.
And not necessarily to just reduce it to like counter transference. It could be a whole host of reasons, but like that is important to name for clinicians as well as clients, is that if you've been intentional about getting your mental health needs met, like it's good to feel aligned and feel supported and heard and like connect or have that rapport with your therapist in the relationship. So
yeah, absolutely. I had like, if I feel like when I hang up, especially if it, now that it's virtual, if I'm staring at this screen and if I hang up and I'm like, I hate what I do, then this is not the person for me. Or if they hang up and they feel like, I don't like my therapist, then this is not working. You are not going to, because you're not going to be able to show up as yourself and get what you came here for.
I don't know why anyone would do that too. Like, it's one thing if like your insurance is covering your therapy, but if folks are paying your hard earned money and you are giving people like money to be your therapist and you don't fuck with them, find someone else. Yeah. You know what I mean? Cause like you deserve better.
Yeah. Yep. It's true.
There's so much that you said that resonated with me. So, you know, my partner, she just started her private practice. So I'm seeing her grind and her also very proud of her. Shouts out to you, baby. Also, Josie Rosario.
Yeah, step it up. Step it up, Mike and Jesse.
Shout out to you, baby.
And shout out to you too, Rima. I know you do so much. You know what I mean? Like, you always writing, editing things for us. Like, love you.
So if y'all didn't know, I'm in a relationship with another psychotherapist, clinical social worker. I think, I'm going to be honest, the best complex case manager I've ever fucking met and knows medical social work, should be teaching medical social work. And nonetheless, Josie Rosario has talked about, who's also a therapist as well, talks about how to name your rate and be steadfast in your rate. And that's okay. Your rate is what your rate is. Right. And also, you know, to Joy's point, when white people say Black Lives Matter, my question to white people is, how? Show me about that action. Ooh. Right. And also with you, Joy, I think it's so dope. And I've talked about it. We've talked about it on the podcast. Like, you're a therapist that goes to therapy and your therapist helped you to realize like this is something else that you can do. Right. And also to the white people out there, you know, I'm going to be honest. It's another, my mentor, shouts out to you. She's a woman from the Bronx, a Black woman. Her family's from South Carolina, too, and born and raised in the Bronx. So shouts out to the Great Migration. But she was a woman that I would see challenge authority, and they let her go. I'll say that on there. They found a way to try to get her out and, you know, to let her go. And it's just sad that when this stuff happens, that a Black woman who's a social worker has to be able to put her career, her livelihood on the line the way Joy has done and the way that my former supervisor in New York has done. And this is an example to white people that always ask, what can they do? What can they do? Put your life, your job and your life on the line. You know, if a Black woman can do it and not overthink it like y'all do, y'all motherfucking asses can do that shit too, because it takes... There's so much mediocre caucasity in the world of underqualified caucasoids, and we can do a better job than y'all. So shut the fuck up. Don't be asking us these dumb questions.
This is why I love it here.
Like, this shit awkward. Lose your fucking job, man. Sorry, cuz. But y'all white people, y'all be pissing me off, man. Like, stop reading. Get off your ass and make some action happen, boss.
My God.
That's real. I mean, if I don't know how many conversations about race white people need to have
before it just clicks.
But they gotta ask, like, what can white people do to support liberation or whatever? They ask that shit all the time. I think it's like an unspoken thing amongst white people. Like, they have to ask it at least 50 times before they decide to do anything. That's like,
maybe that's the marker. Maybe that's it. They're gonna keep asking. They're gonna keep playing ignorant, and like, right, that's what they're gonna roll with.
They're just trying to frustrate us. So we're just like, just fuck it. Just don't do anything.
What?
We'll do it ourselves. And they're like, look, thank you, finally, shit. And we've just been asking them all fucking 2020 how we can fix this. And they've just been telling us to look it up. No, I don't want to. I'm not going to.
They're like, finally, Black women. Thank you.
Save the world again.
And I bought a shirt from Feminisha Jones. And it's like, I think it's the caption is, Black women are not here to save you. And Black women are not here to save y'all trifling dusty asses. You dig? So just stop it. You can donate, you can do whatever, lose your job. But if you know some shit is awkward in a job and you're upholding white supremacy by being in near discomfort because you don't want to challenge authority, then you need to get the fuck out the job, man, and go read some Ida B. Wells, go do something. And it's not about James Adams. It's about a lot of Black social work pioneers, a lot of Native social work pioneers that they were probably doing social work. They didn't call it social work before, but they were doing some shit the same way. And maybe the ethics and the history of social work needs to be looked at differently. And you need to look at Jane Addams as like an accomplice of white supremacy because she's definitely damaged a lot of African-American and Native American families. Period.
Yes, sir. Also, how many white folks are ready to have that conversation about tapping into your pockets? And I'm talking like family generational wealth, because people are always talking about, you know, what can we do to be anti-racist? What can we do to support, like, you know, the movement? It's like, well, you know, tap into your family generational wealth and redistribute it to Black people who built this country. I'm a firm believer that, you know, BIPOC should be, you know, well, especially for nonviolent drug offenses, released from prison. I think higher ed should be free. I think healthcare should be free. I think there should be 0% interest on loans for housing. Okay, that should be free. Like, we can go through every sector, really, and break it down. But, you know, I don't know if folks are ready for that conversation.
and speaking to that, Mr. Robinette, Mr. Joseph Robinette, you know, you got some social workers here right now. If y'all want to go ahead and wipe away my loans, I'm still going to talk shit about white people. If you want to just listen to this podcast, wipe away our loans, do it, do it. But first, if you're going to do it for somebody first, do it for joy first. Do it for joy first.
And then you know? And then all of y'all.
Of course.
I'm not paying them anyway, so.
What?
Yeah, we already forgave ourselves for those.
That's great.
It's above me now.
What you going to do? Come get this degree? I'm going to still practice, huh?
No. I think sometimes too, I was listening to, I don't listen to Brilliant Idiots anymore because I don't really fuck with Andrew Scholes and Charlotte. Well, I don't fuck with Andrew Scholes with Brilliant Idiots and stuff. And Charlemagne has problematic stuff. I'd rather, but that's a whole nother conversation. But Andrew Scholes did say some stuff like, there's a certain sect of white people who will go to a Talib Kweli concert and they love to be told how bad they are. It's like, they kind of get their jollies off to a little bit. And I think probably some of y'all out there listening in this world from Maine to Spain, Alaska to Nebraska, just like being told how bad you are. And that's kind of concerning to me. And if you listen to the or read the autobiography of Malcolm X and white folks' jolly get off thing, that's a weird thing. So stop getting your jollies off to the fetishization of Black people. And well, I'm going to name racism. And y'all in our comments saying this, saying that. Do action. Don't tell us. Just do the action. That's all I have to say.
And that money, like, I think, you know, I made a post a little while ago. It's like, if you see me as your Instagram adjunct professor, you need to hit the donate button then. And I get these messages and we get these messages that are like, oh, my God, we're learning so much from you. It's just like, oh, really? Because you're paying this university tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of dollars. But you're just going to take this labor for free. Okay, well, show us that you care about us. Show us that you love learning from us and pay us.
Yep.
And Black people need to start adding their Cash App and Venmo information to all the apps, the social media sites, all of that stuff. Stop that humble shit. Because if white people are learning from you, if they are benefiting from your labor for free, if they're taking what you're saying and practicing that in their work, you need to be compensated for it.
And we posted something today. It was like, if you were attending a conference on, oh, shout out to Janelle Cubbage. She said, if you were attending a conference on racism, and I'm going to add in anti-Blackness and mental health, who would you want to see the keynote, the conference? And it's like all these white people talking about who they want, but it's like, why should y'all be, first of all, in these comments? Second of all, why is it that y'all talking about all this stuff? Why don't you talk about stuff that y'all can do? You know, it's like, we posted something recently and it was like a blank, that black screen everybody did in like June or something like that. And it's like, this is white America. I'm learning, you know? And this is like, how much learning, like it's been said before, that y'all gonna do before you do some shit, you know? Like the other white people, and I mean, y'all all guilty, but the other white people who rioted in the Capitol, they took action. So from the opposite, why don't you do the opposite of some stuff that they do to help our black asses out? It's that simple.
you think they're scared?
Very scared. They're so afraid. They look like ghosts. They're afraid. That's how scared they are.
They'll be afraid that they'll be treated like us.
Oh, like that video of the guy in the airport that's like, I'm not even black. Or maybe he didn't say black. Maybe he said, I'm not a nigga. That could be what he said.
He said, I'm not African-American or something like that. It's something off, he said.
Yeah.
But also, speaking of like being a professor and all these things, would you ever think about becoming like a professor or adjunct cousin?
I've thought about it. I've like looked into it. I'm not opposed.
Okay. And what if you...
But if it came with a free doctorate, hell yeah, I'd do it.
Okay. So y'all see that? Y'all listening in America? Give her that doctorate. She's doing God's work. She's challenging white people, you know, putting her license on the line, her degree, her livelihood. You know, give her opportunity. Let her be Dr. Joy, you know, and not the others, two other black Dr. Joys, but have her Dr. Joy LCSW, because this is Dr. Joy with social work. So we want to say that. And my next question for you in general, with everything that you have going on or want to do, what's next for you?
Well, okay. I was like, I don't know, but I want to expand my practice and bring on other clinicians so I can still work less. The goal of entrepreneurship for me is to work 3 days a week. That's it. That's all I want to work is 3 days. So I need to get my life into a place where I could just work 3 days and I can have 4 days off. So that's what's next. And I don't know when that's going to be, but hopefully sooner than later. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know specifically what's next. I'm trying to figure out what this year looks like. I think last year scared me into planning a little bit. But I'm in a good place, I feel.
And I mean, it's very doable. Shouts out to Marlene Francois, LCSW. I think last time I checked, it's like a year ago. I think she works like 3 days a week. She's going back and getting her doctor as well. She's a Haitian sister out of New Jersey. So yes, that can be done. So that's cool. That's cool. Hopefully we can do the same thing as well. But I'm going to flip the script a little bit right now. Talk out of social work. What are the last three musical artists that you listen to?
Ooh. So I've been listening to Jasmine Sullivan Hotels like on repeat 1,000 times a day. I know the whole album. If you would like me to sing it at any time, let me know.
Okay, you can do it now.
No, I'm just joking. I don't know how to sing. I'm just kidding. One of my friends, she just came out with an album. Her name is Loki Nell. She's on all major platforms, I believe. So I've been listening to her stuff. And sometimes I have trouble sleeping, so I listen to music. So I was listening to the Blue Notes the other day. Because I'm an old lady from the South, apparently.
You mean Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes? Blue Notes?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. We're definitely family. What about y'all, my brothers? What are the last three artists that y'all listen to?
I just looked because you asked, so I figured I should just check my recently played because I thought you were going to ask. So I'm still feeling the vibe of Stick coming on the podcast. So the other day I was getting ready, I was listening to some Dead Prez. The one before that is Toby. So Cinco Originals. And then before that was, what was it? Hold up. Earth Gang.
Yo, I'm looking right now because the Money Talks was released today with Dave Santan. I think he goes by Dave now, the UK hip hop artist. So I was going in on that today. And then also shout out to Tierra Whack, Philly artist. She is super dope. Been listening to her a lot lately. And then who else I've been going in on?
Young Thug.
Man, you know I was listening to Young Thug when I'm work, when I'm, I don't know. Yeah, I listen to Young Thug. When I'm doing anything.
I was listening, I was thinking about the last like artist I listened to. So one was Amy Winehouse. The other one, today I was listening to Bay Area music, so like just E-40 was just going, and I for whatever reason was just, I had hella energy and I was just like going dumb in my kitchen by myself. Like it was great. So I listened to Sam Cooke after being inspired by One Night in Miami. That, if y'all have not seen that yet, please check that out. Regina King, and those gentlemen that acted in that movie, it is fucking phenomenal. So check that out, One Night in Miami.
That's on Amazon, right?
Yep, it's on Amazon.
What about you, Josh? What's been in the playlist?
The last two hours I listened to, surprisingly, right? Chief Keef, Knife Wonder, and Ghostface Killah. Okay. Those are the last three artists I listened to.
That would be like a pretty dope super group if you put the three of them together.
Yeah.
I can see that working.
Knife Wonder, if you're listening to this, I want to actually appreciate you. I don't really talk about this too much on the airwaves, but I would, for some reason, when I was doing, when I was in grad school, before I met these fellas and we got to be friends, but around that time, I would watch his documentaries and like do my, like, what's it called? My process notes. I hated my process notes. But that was a really hard time for me mental health wise. And I kind of battled with SI at the time. But for some reason, I started listening to Knife Wonder. I kind of knew him from before, but listened to his podcast on like Combat Jack and listening or watching his documentaries. And that just, for some reason, that got me through grad school. So shout out to you, Knife Wonder. I really appreciate you. And I love your beats. You're a Harvard scholar, professor, and you're a hip hop nerd like me. But yeah, I think that's it for me. It's been pretty dope talking to my cousin here. Go check out. Well, I'm going to let her talk about all the stuff she has going on, her platforms, her donation sites, all those things.
Okay. Thanks. So I can't even speak English now. So I am on Instagram at The Joy of Social Work, Joy with an I. The name of my podcast is also The Joy of Social Work Podcast. Right now, well, a few weeks ago, I was taking donations to help people pay for therapy. So we've already given over $1,000 to people to like pay for co-pays or to even start therapy. So if you are interested in donating to that, you can cash at me, JOISW, or Venmo me, JOI-SW. Yeah, or you could, if you are somebody who is like, oh, I would like my therapy paid for a session or two, you could always DM me at The Joy of Social Work. And I could add on, ask a bunch of questions. I would like to hope people are not scamming me. If you are, that's between you and whoever you serve.
But that is it for us here. Fellas, last thing to say.
Thanks for coming and hanging out with us, Joy. Your energy is infectious. Definitely love it. If you want to follow us, always follow us at Melanated Social Work and check out the website, melanatedsocialwork.com, to check out all the things from podcasts and merchandise and just learning how to contact us. So, yeah.
So, we're fortunate to be in community with you, Joy. This was dope. And I'm just, we're going to keep on making it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know we threw this idea out there a while back, but we had like the idea we should just get a summit of all the Black and other POC social work podcasters, because I feel like we're building this network of folks and we should all just get together sometime. Like that shit would be dope.
Yeah.
Thank y'all so much. Party. Yes. Thank y'all for having me. And I love y'all and I appreciate that y'all never sugarcoat stuff and you keep it real. So I'm really grateful and thank you for not making me nervous.
Of course. And as we've said, ain't nothing but a social work party. So thank you, cousin. Thank you, America. And we will speak with you all later. Peace.
Peace.